So this sort of speaks back to what is thought, because it's very easy for us to fall into seeing thought as something that arises from us. And so that puts the self at the center, a self that is thinking thoughts. Whereas really the sense of I is a product of influx, not the source of it. And that flips it. So the sense of I is a product of consciousness. Consciousness is not an attribute of I. The appearance is that it is, but it's not actually that. So consciousness is primary. And this sort of relates to the literal and to external life, to the body, so all things external. So the same principles apply. And you don't have sight apart from the eye. You don't have hearing apart from an ear or any of the other senses, right? They all are directly one with an organ. And so it's the same with thoughts. Thoughts are one with a organ, a spiritual organ. So what thoughts reveal is the state of the organ. They are not epiphenomena or things floating or like airy, ethereal things. They are actually a revelation of the state that is active. And why is that important? Because if we abstract things, we diminish any sense of responsibility to attend to something. But if we see that the actual thought is showing the quality of the vessel, then we need to attend to the vessel. So that's why it's important. And what you find is that faith alone, for example, is the separation of ideas from praxis, right? So it's a form of separating off thought from actually what's real and what matters. And that leaves us in a state of not attending to what matters. And so that same kind of dynamic can play out with our own thinking. We can see our thoughts as just having no real direct relationship to the quality of the vessel. And that poses a problem because that moves us away from actually attending to the vessel, which is our work, self-examination and repentance. So the natural is made up of a corporeal level, a sensual level. So think body of thought, not material substance. So the house is the mind, right? Like it's all to do with mental states and how things are organized. So there's a corporeal level, which is bodily thought, bodily-based thought. So what you have is you have a corporeal, a sensual, and a rational in the natural. Yeah? So those are all part of the natural mind, the natural mind. And then what is described is there's an interior of the natural that sits above that. And so the interior of the natural has to be regenerated first, and then the exterior is regenerated from the interior. So there has to be a building up of a new rational that can look down into the old rational and the sensual and the corporeal, which they all work together, from which what can be recognized are disorders, what is out of order, because the interior or the second rational is the Lord in us, right? So it's where the word sits or has come to sit because of practice. And what the physical body does is gives us corporeal truths. So, for example, you come into the world in a body, and through that experience, as you're developing, you come to see yourself as the center of the world. Everything revolves around my body. Right? That's the experience of a child, and it becomes more and more confirmed as you grow older. And so a whole lot of corporeal-based ideas start to get cemented in. That's like frogs and stuff when you start reasoning from I am the center of the world. That's a falsity, right? But it's also contains a truth. The truth is that there is a center around which all things are ordered, and that's the Lord. So because we've had the experience of being the center, we can relate to the idea of a being being at the center. And so that has to be changed around, right? The other big one is the idea that everything without the appearances is that influx comes in, right? It's an inverted idea, a corporeal idea, a sensory-based idea. But when you come to the truths of divine revelation, it instructs us that nothing flows from without to within. Everything flows from within to without. And so there is an inversion that has to take place. Now, why is that important? Because when we are in the sensory corporeal idea of influx, then we see what is without as causal and what is within the effect of the cause. So we project everything out as to that person annoys me, that is the cause of my state, they're bad, etc. So all that kind of rationalizations that occur because of that false idea has a direct impact on the quality of our life. But as soon as that gets turned around and we start to take responsibility with the idea that our state is the problem, not the external apparent cause, because what's being offended? It's my sense of self. It's my I. None of that's real anyway. So the whole thing is inverted. And that's why it's such a long word. And that's why there are all these plagues. So the thing with the plagues is that, as we've said before, is that the plagues aren't coming on. They're being revealed. Like what's happening is that the proprium is being seen for what it actually is. Even the statement in here, right, it's about Jehovah saying to Moses, go to Pharaoh and tell him that I say, let my people go. Just that statement captures the whole of the divine mission, which is to release us from what's represented by Egypt, or more specifically, to release our understanding of the word from the letter, from a literal level, so that we can understand it spiritually. Because until we can understand the word spiritually, and by spiritual is meant that until we can understand it as it relates to our states of mind, it's really a closed book. And the only way that internal sense can be revealed, or that spiritual meaning or state meaning, it's probably a way of saying it, the only way that can be revealed is if we engage with it with a view to wanting to see what's needed. Then things can open up. Of course, Jehovah's saying that describes influx. Everything flowing in from the Lord through the soul of every human being says, let my people go. That statement captures the whole of the divine work. And of course, when that begins to impact on the mind kicks back. The natural mind, the natural level, starts kicking back because it doesn't want the state to change. That sense of self that we're invested in doesn't want anything to do with that kind of change, because then it has to give up its life, and it's not going to do that easily. So when we're talking about the sensory and the corporeal, we're talking about what relates to the most external things of the mind. It is those ideas, corporeal and sensory-based ideas, form that level. So it's still in the realm of the mind, and then the actual physicality, that materiality that our external senses are in touch with, this is all representation. This is the realm of representation and correspondence. So the reason that we have this level of life is so that we can be left in freedom, so far as our willingness to attend to things. So The issue is always the thoughts and affections, not the actual, say, physical body as such. So we get discussions of eyes and ears and teeth or the heart and the lungs, whatever it happens to be. But these things are always illustrative. They have a correspondence. They teach how the understanding and the will interact, or how affections and thoughts are related to one another.